Thank you for tuning in to the Sarita House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Once again, welcome to Sarita House of Worship. This is Memorial Day weekend. This is a time that we remember those that served our country and are no longer with us. And whatever they stood for, we're getting the benefits of. So it's not just about making hamburgers, which is good. You know, that's why, yes it is, that's why we are able to do so, because these men and women stood up for our country. As Memorial Day, what I was thinking also is that Memorial Day is not only for the military, it's also for all those others that are not here with us any longer. We've had some losses in our church body. And I don't know about you, but one of the things that has really touched my heart are those kids in Texas. And I know we're supposed to rejoice in all things, and God has all these little angels in His arms. But this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand with me. And I want to pray for the families, not only of our immediate church, but those, so many that are hurting. And I know, as I said, that everybody is in the arms of Jesus. I know those 19 little kids are. But moms and dads, how can you fill their hearts? God's the only one that can do that. So Lord, we just come this morning, Lord. And Lord, that by Your Holy Spirit, Lord, that distance is of no means to anything, Lord. That You would touch, Lord, the hearts of all those families in Texas, Lord. All the children, the teachers, Lord. And even that husband, Lord, that died of a broken heart. Minister to their hearts, Lord. You are the only one that can fill those empty spaces, Lord. So, Lord, we thank You, Lord, that not only there, but, Lord, as I said, Lord, that the people from our church body, Lord, there's losses, there are sicknesses, Lord. And we just thank You, Lord, that You will fight our battles, Lord. You will take care of our children, Lord, and that You will lift our hearts, Lord, and minister to each one of us, Lord, here, wherever else, Lord, those that are calling out to Your name. We pray this and we thank You in Jesus' name. And if you will remain standing, we will go into worship. Thank you.
You know, it doesn't matter what you're going through or when you're going through it. God knew it was coming before it even got to you. And He prepares you. He really does. You know, we are meant, as a part of walking in the kingdom, we are really meant to rejoice even in the low times. It can be so hard, but there's something that happens when you allow God to take over your weak moments instead of you letting your body and your soul be what directs you through everything. Because the Bible tells us that He gives us joy, right? Unspeakable. He gives us peace that passes all understanding. It tells us all those things. But when we're going through those moments, there's a lot of times where all that stuff just kind of goes out of our head, right? But this is a part of learning to bring the kingdom to earth. It's through us. Because he already lives within you. The Holy Spirit is already there. And it's allowing the kingdom to show on earth because of who he is within you. Which means a lot of times those changes come when we're going through hard times and we're not reacting like somebody else would. When we're going through a tough time and everybody sees it as, oh man, you should be really down. But there's something within us that's saying, it's all going to be all right. Because we know that the Father has brought us to every single point to work all things together for good. There's never a moment that he brings you to where you're maybe feeling down that he's going to go, okay, now you can just stay there. No, go after him. Because in those moments, not only will he give you love, not only will he give you peace, he'll give you things that you need to build you up, to encourage you, and to move you forward. He's not looking for you to go backwards. Can I tell you something? The past is the past. The Bible actually tells us that your sins are as far from the east as they are from the west, that they're thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. There is a reason for that, because he's not wanting for you to be looking back. He's wanting for you to be looking forward. The desire is that you become more like him, that you just become even more of who he's created you to be. And he never made a mistake in doing it. He doesn't make mistakes. Every single thing he's done, every single gift he's placed inside of you, it's been for a purpose. The place that you're in right now, the things that you're doing right now, they're exactly where he wants you to be. When Adam and Eve, he created you. Can I tell you, he created you to be perfect. When he put Adam and Eve on this world, they were perfect. I like how when he's created everything in the beginning in Genesis, I like how it says that he looked at it and he knew that it was good. Because he doesn't create mistakes. He created you exactly and perfectly the way you should be walking on this earth. The difference was that when he said, "Do not touch that tree," that they did anyways. And sin came into the world. And sin is where death became a part. But it had nothing to do with us and the way he created us. It had everything to do with a choice. But can I tell you, your body is still created to function perfectly. There's nowhere from Adam and Eve to now where he changed your body to not be able to meet that expectation of his creation. The way that he made it, his masterpiece. It's why it's so important to look forward. Because if we're constantly looking back at the sins and the things that were there before, what do you tend to do at what you're looking at? If you're looking back at those things, you have a tendency to go back to them. No, but he wants you to run your race and go forward. Move forward. Move forward. Move forward. That's what he desires for you, is for you to continue to move forward, and precept upon precept, he will continue to build your life. In every single way. The only thing that stops it is us. When we decide, oh, but I really want this, or this is more important, or the struggles I'm going through are just too hard and I need to take care of it. Those are the moments where we stray away from what he's trying to do in our life. And it's where we got to remember, no, you promised me this. I am more than a conqueror in you. You told me that I could move mountains, and I'm going to move them. The kingdom begins to show on earth when we begin to take our place, when we begin to walk in the kingdom, when we begin to realize that we're not of this world, that we are of the kingdom. And that's the way we are supposed to function, that we're supposed to function in a completely different way. It's why I love this song so much, because he created us. He is the artist. He is the potter. And if you allow him to, he will mold and he will just continue to paint and he will create something incredibly beautiful, because you are beautiful. He created you beautifully and you are wonderfully made. All creation sings his praises, and that includes you. You are exactly, you're a beautiful picture, a masterpiece of everything that he desired. So don't doubt it. Go after him. Go after him and say, God, what else do you got for me? What more? Because I don't want to just be full. I want to be overflowing. I don't want to just be okay. I want to be more than okay. I don't want to just be walking through life all right. I want to be perfected by you. I want to walk in righteousness. I want to be righteousness because it's what you've called me to be. It's always a striving. It really is. Because if you just continue to strive after him constantly, you'll be able to see that he just continues to transform and transform. And what you felt before was difficult to let go of, you'll begin to see that it's just gone in your life. Because he does it. He makes all things good. He makes all things perfect. And that includes you.
Yes, as I was worshiping and she was speaking these words, I heard the Lord in my heart speaking very strongly. And so I'm going to speak what the Holy Spirit is causing me to give you with this message. My child, you are mine. I have great things for you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am your God. I am the great I am. I know you. I knew you when you were perfectly formed in your mother's womb. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future." Walk with me. Walk with me. I will give you the desires of your heart. Serve me. Worship me. And you will see what I have for you. I have for you blessings abundant. Exceedingly and abundantly above all that you could ever ask for. I have them for you, my children. Trust in me. Walk with me. And you shall see what I shall be doing these days. This is the days of Elijah. These are the days of prosperity, of jubilee. And I shall do these things that I have promised. Each and every promise that I have given you that are in your heart shall manifest. Yeah. Just walk with me. Walk with me. I don't want to thank you.
Yeah. Oof. Can't even talk. I'm sorry. First of all, I want to tell you guys,
I love this man.
Very loved you, brother. You're good, man.
You know you're my spiritual father. You know that, right?
Oh, man, I praise God. Oh, thank you, brother.
December the 2nd, right around there. I got a UTI. I go, what do you mean? I don't think men get UTIs. That's crazy. I did. I got one. So anyway, I got sick. Kept going to work like that. Maybe around December the 4th, the 5th, they told me I had COVID. I caught COVID, and I said, okay. You know, I hardly never get sick. So I thought if COVID ever hit me, this is nothing, you know. I'll just fly right by it. December the 9th, I told my wife, I go, babe, if I don't go to the hospital tonight, I won't be here tomorrow. I knew it. I can barely breathe. She did call the paramedics twice. Twice they checked me out. They said I was okay. They brought me home. That's before December the 9th. Right at December the 9th, I said, that's it. I can't. They took me to Banner. And I went to Banner, and I was there. And the first day I was laying down, she came into the room, and I was eating cake and all kinds of stuff. Just, you know, she goes, she look fine. I go, well, thank God I'm fine. Then right after that, I got real sick. I had double pneumonia. I had blood clots throughout my whole body. My kidneys were failing. They wanted to put me on dialysis. They don't know what was wrong with me. My wife goes, how was the trauma, Rick? After I got home, I go, babe, I don't remember the trauma. I don't remember none of that stuff. I go, you remember more than I do what was taking place. She told me they had to tie me down because I was trying to take all these tubes down my throat, down my nose. I was trying to pull them off. They had to get my hands, tie me up, and, you know, and sedate me. I mean, they were just doing so much to me. I have no idea what they did. I know when my brother came up here and jumped and he ran, he goes, who's here for the first time? I wanted to raise my hand because I resurrected.
Amen. Praise God.
I died on that table twice. I go, this is my first time here again after I resurrected.
Yeah, come on.
I know, Pastor, that I didn't die. I was going to just move out of this body and go home. But this body, you know, God is not finished yet.
That's right, bro.
He's not finished yet. You know, and what's so powerful about this, I'm not going to give you the whole testimony, but I'm going to give you just little parts here. My kids and my wife, they blew me away. My kids would tell me that I would go to the hospital. One day you're up and one day you're down. One day you're up, we get all this bad news and you're down again. And the time that I was really, really bad, instead of them going out and just accusing God and doing whatever they wanted to do, what they did, they got into the room. My son went in there with his piano and they were worshiping the Lord. Yeah. And she's speaking scriptures over me. My son is singing over me. And I go, oh my God, that just, when they gave me that, when I finally came to again and they gave me all this, what they recorded it, it just so picked me up. I said, my God, I go, God, you're just so good. And there was a time that, you know, your faith is up here and sometimes it's down because the Bible says that faith, it's a substance. It's that something that we believe in, we hope for and everything else. We weren't walking by sight. They were walking by faith, because if they were walking by sight, they would have gave up. Because, I mean, I'm laying down there with bags of ice all over me. No clothes on, just ice, because I was so hot that they couldn't break the temperature. And they would go in the room and, Dad, you're going to come home. Dad, you're going to come home. And I remember one time my boys told me, they go, Dad, I remember seeing you, the doctors coming up to us, and they go, well, you might as well go tell them bye, because there's nothing else we can do. So my boys, they obeyed the doctor. They went and they dismissed themselves. I don't know what they said. I wasn't there. So then what was so powerful to me is because my daughter, before I went into the hospital, the Lord said, Monica, I want you to fast for 2 weeks. And she goes, Dad, she goes, the Lord asked me to fast. I go, for what? She goes, I don't know. He just told me to fast. I go, well, praise God, babe. Just go ahead and fast. So she started fasting. And all of a sudden, I got COVID and all this came. And I believe it was the Lord speaking to her at that time. So she's fasting. And the day that the doctors told my sons to go tell your dad bye, they came back and they told my daughter, they go, Monica, the doctors just told us and we're already dead. Just go ahead and go tell dad bye because there's no more hope. It's done. It's over. She goes, I'm not going over there. And you go, well, Dad, you're so mean. Why not? Because the Lord told me he's coming home. He's coming home. I'm not going to say bye. He's coming home.
That's right.
So I believe that because of that, I'm still here. And because of my daughter-in-law, she's a nurse, and she was on top of the doctors every day, every day. Well, what are you giving him? What are you doing to him? What's going on? And I think with them, it was just so powerful. That's why I'm still here. And because of you guys to pray for me, I am still here. See, the battle is won in prayer. I couldn't pray for myself. But because you guys are praying for me, I'm still here. God is so good. I'm getting ready to go to California for the first time again. I couldn't travel. When I got home from the hospital, oh my God, I didn't know that you lose all your muscle tone. I didn't know that at all. I know when they told me, Rick, can you get out of bed? I go, yeah. And I go, I go, I guess I can't. You know, and then they got this machine. I call it a hoist. They had to tie me down and get me up, you know. And oh, my God, and it was so hard. I mean, when I pick up my feet, I felt like I was picking up 300 pounds. I couldn't do it. I go, man, I go, Lord, I can't do this. I need your help. So I had this therapist come in, and she started working with me. And she got me up, and then she put me on the wheelchair, and we went down, and I was doing exercises on the wheelchair, whatever I can do. And that was it. And then she goes, tomorrow you're going to walk on the walker. I go, you're crazy. I go, I can't even get up. How am I going to walk on a walker? The next day, she had me walking on a walker. Like, oh, my God. I go,
you said you were going to walk on water.
Yeah, I take that, brother. You know, so then anyway, she goes, and tomorrow she goes, you're going to walk. You're going to let go of the walker, and you're going to walk at least 3-4 feet. I go, there's no way. She goes, Rick, she goes, it's all up here. She goes, you just tell yourself, you can do this. You can do this. I go, she's reminding me what I preach. Yeah. She goes, you can do this. Just tell yourself, you can do this. I go, okay, I can do this, Lord. I can do this. And then I walked 10 feet. Then the next day I walked 30 feet. Next day I walked 60 feet.
Yeah, come on.
Every day getting better and better. I went home. And when I got home, we have all these stairs there. Oh, my God. All these stairs in my rooms upstairs. I went home with oxygen. I didn't think I was ever going to get off the oxygen. It's like, I go, Lord, I go, why am I still here? Here I am doubting. And within maybe 2 weeks, I was completely off of oxygen. And I said, wow. And the first time I got home, my kids had to carry me upstairs. I was upstairs for about 3 weeks. I couldn't come down. And then finally, I think it was around the Super Bowl. I had my therapist come down. He goes, Rick, so what are you going to do for the Super Bowl? I go, I'd like to go downstairs and watch the Super Bowl. Oh, okay, well, let's go. Let's go right now so you get ready for it. I go, what do you mean? He goes, let's go downstairs. I go, okay, let's try this. So I was going, and I got kind of tired. She picked up the oxygen. He goes, Rick, I tell you what. He goes, when you go down, put your oxygen on 3. And then when you come up, put it on 6. And I said, okay. So I did that. I mean, it was still difficult, but just to get one step up and try to get this one back up, I couldn't do that. But I did watch a Super Bowl. I went down. Ever since then, I've been going up and down. Yeah, I can run up and down the stairs now. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, God isn't still not finished. There's still some work has to be done.
Right.
At night, I don't know why, but I can't close my hands more than that. But during the day, look at that. It's nothing. I mean, I got a little bit of pains here and there, but, you know, God is still doing his final touches on me. I'm getting ready to go to California because there's, I mean, I had so many intercessors. Oh, my God. I didn't know how many intercessors I had praying for me. People were just coming in from all over the world. And I want to go and give them the testimony because they're all asking me, Rick, can you come down? I want you to share your testimony with so-and-so. And so we're going to take this little trip. We're going to go around and see what God wants to do.
Amen. Praise God.
And I think it's going to be fun
to
do that testimony time.
Amen.
See how many people come to the Lord.
Absolutely.
I just pray for that God arranges everything and into the time of the people. And if you don't believe in miracles, well, yes, I am a miracle.
Yeah. Praise
God. I tell you one thing, my kids believe in miracles. My son Gabriel goes, when I was there, just laying there, he would tell my wife, I just want Dad to hug me back. It's all I want. I just want him to hug me back. I remember when I got home, we just hugged and we hold and we prayed. But I got to tell you what he did. To me, it was pretty powerful. And he doesn't realize that what he did was powerful. But and I even told him, I go, Gabe, I go, you don't know what you did. He goes, Dad, I went to the hospital. And you were there. You weren't even here. I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you were gone already. He goes, but I did exactly what you taught me. I went up to you and I said, you know what? In the name of Jesus Christ, I command your body to get up. You rise from that dead right now in Jesus' name. And you get up in Jesus' name.
Yeah, come on.
And he goes, and nothing happened. I go, that's what you think. I'm here.
That's what you think.
I'm here. You might think that wasn't nothing. I go, you know what? You raised the dead before I did. I've been saying that I want to raise the dead. I go, you already did it. I go, I'm here. You know, things that we take for granted, we say, well, you know what? I spoke this to someone. I prayed for this person. I did this, but I haven't seen the miracle. Well, God is not done yet. You just keep your faith. Don't stop.
Amen.
Don't stop. I just want you guys to know, you know what? If there's something wrong with your body, if whatever it is, you know what? Don't give up. You know, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. You know, I was telling my son, because we were talking about something. I can't remember what we were talking about. And I'll close with this. And we were at home. And I go, you know what? I go, God is so good. He's so merciful. I go, but I believe a lot of times that we don't ask God and believe that he can do it. I go, my house that I have, I Airbnb it now. It's my house. I go, that's my house. I go, but I cannot just go to that house and open the door and come inside because someone is renting that house. I go, but you know what? I have authority. It's my house, but I just can't go in there. You have authority over the things that the adversary is trying to put on your bodies, okay? You have authority over it. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. So what the authority that I have now, when God tells me, Rick, I want you to pray for Pastor Hendry, okay? So my job is to pray for Pastor Hendry. And it's not my job to say, oh, God, I asked you to heal him. Oh, God, I asked you to do. No, God said, you killed him. My job is to say, okay, you know what? I command his body in the name of Jesus Christ to be whole and to heal in Jesus' name. I command every sickness to leave this body right now in Jesus' name.
Yeah,
and it has to leave. At that time, it's almost like getting the permission to go into my house and do whatever I want to do. And when you ask God, what happens is that you get his permission, and now you don't do the miracle, which I know that. He does the miracle through us.
Right.
We connect and we become partners, and it's done. But you guys have a You guys have a powerful pastor. I love his family. We've known him for years. We have moved all the way to Tangerine and Aranga, so we're way in heck out there now. But I was telling my wife, you know what? I go, the Lord gave us the church way in, this way on up in Catalina now, where we live at. And we were going to go this morning, but I said, no, you know what? The pastor's been calling me to come to the men's breakfast and everything else. I haven't had time. I got to see him before I leave. But God bless you guys, and I love you guys. Amen. Pastor, I love you.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Now, hello, everybody here. Praise God. Thank you, Rick. I appreciate that. I remember going to go visit Rick, and I have never seen that many tubes sticking in somebody in my life. It's kind of a weird thing. How many of you just say amen? I mean, isn't that right? So yeah, just God. I said, oh man, there was a whole rack, two racks of stuff they're putting in this guy. Amen. And there was I was looking outside, and the nurse was in there, and I was talking to him a little bit, and there was across the, I don't know, it was what floor was that? Like the fifth floor? Seventh floor. It was a seventh floor, and across the hospital, there's a whole group of pigeons standing out there. There was one on the flat part, and all the rest of the, I would say there was six or seven, maybe eight, they were standing right on the edge, and there was an angle going this way. And I was looking at him, and I told that nurse, I told him, hey, what do you think about those pigeons over there, man? And he goes, yeah, it's kind of crazy. Look at it. There's one that's afraid. That's what he said. There's one that's back there afraid. And I said, yeah, the rest of them know their design. How many know? How many say amen?
Amen.
It's important you know your design. Is that right? It's important that you know who you are and what you're and what God has for you. Hallelujah. We weren't ready to release this guy. How many say, do you know that you can intervene? Do you know that? Your prayers are intervene in what's happened to somebody. You can say, Lord, hey, your word says, how many know that we need people on the ground here? Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, hey, don't take them to heaven. We need them here. Amen? Praise God. Isn't that right?
Yeah,
they might not agree with you a little bit, but no, I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
It's important that we pray. Amen.
Yes.
It's important that we know who we are. It's important that we know our design. Amen. How did God make you?
Yeah.
How and what did he make you for? You know, all those little gifts that are within you, you know that God can use every one of them in the kingdom of God. Do you know that? He placed them there. Hallelujah. You are, like Rebecca said this morning, you are wonderfully, wonderfully made. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, praise God. I'm gonna take you into the Word of God now, and let's just see what God has to say. John chapter 8, starting at verse 1. I really like the background music. I hope these guys don't quit, but it looks like they're stopping. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, it can be a long time. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, God. Mm. Yeah, it's Memorial Weekend. How many say amen to that? You know, it's important that we recognize what men and women have done to keep our freedom. Amen?
Amen.
I'll tell you what, are you glad you're in a country that you can come to church? You can worship God. You can tell folks about Jesus if you want. Amen. Hallelujah. They might not want to hear it, but you can do that. Amen. We can still tell people about Jesus. Amen. But I was just talking about memorial. There's one I want to remember is him that gave his life for you. The real freedom, folks, comes from what Jesus did for you. And you say amen to that. Amen. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we just thank you this morning for all that you've done for us. Father, we pray, God, as we look at your word, Father, that you would speak personally to each and every one of us, Father. Father, that you would place something within our hearts this morning, Father God, that will take us through Monday, Tuesday, maybe Wednesday, maybe into the next week. But Lord, Father, give us fresh bread.
Amen.
That we might feast, that our spirit, our soul might feast upon what you give today, Father. Father, we give you praise and glory and honor. Father, I ask you, Lord, that you would just help me to speak as you would have me to speak in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. 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 Praise God. John chapter 8, I love this. I mean, I just love looking at what Jesus does. Amen? I mean, if there's anybody we need to be looking at, is Jesus. Come on, is that right? The Word of God tells us that we are to be conformed to Him. Is that right? We got to be looking like Jesus. I mean, how many of you have ever seen a picture of Jesus? Amen? Anybody? Yeah. Who's He look like?
Me.
Come on, man. And that's good. I don't know what He looks like, but I will tell you that because of who He is in your life, yeah, He does look like you. You're right. He does look like you. So, but are you looking like Him? Amen. What do you see in Scripture? What do you see about Jesus? What is it? What is it? I just love how smart this guy is. Amen. Is Jesus smart? Is He wise?
Yeah.
The Bible says in Him lies all the wisdom, right? The wisdom and the glory of God lay within Christ. Amen? And guess what? He's within you. So isn't that cool? How you like being the wisdom of God? Amen? How you like that? Well, guess what, folks? It's important that you understand who you are. So John chapter 8, starting at verse 1. Word of God says this, is that Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning, He came again into the temple, and all the people came to Him, and He sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought to Him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to Him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? What sayest thou? That's pretty cold, isn't it? Wouldn't you say that these guys were pretty heartless? Somebody's already feeling bad. Okay, she was caught in. All right, you know, how many know that when you're caught in sin, it's shameful? Is that right? Do you know that shame is something that comes with sin? It is what took the glory of God off of Adam and Eve, that shame, and they caused them to realize, hey, we're naked. We need to cover ourselves. So they tried to cover themselves with leaves. And here this woman is standing shamefully in front of all of these people, the religious leaders and anybody else that was in the crowd that might have been there listening to Jesus. So I would say, man, these are cold-hearted guys. Amen. I say, man, what's going on, man? And I love what Jesus does. This, they said, tempting Him that they might have to accuse Him. Jesus stooped down and with His finger wrote on the ground as though He heard them not. You know, here they are. They go before Him and they're doing what they're doing to her. They're using her to try to get to Him. And that, man, isn't that manipulative? Is that the word? How do you say it? Manipulative. Manipulative. Say it three times. Yeah, manipulative. Isn't that manipulative? That's crazy. I mean, these guys are just cold-hearted, man. They don't, you know, they're... So when they continue asking Him, He lifted up Himself and said to them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Oh, man. Jesus is stepping into something that's really cool. How many say amen to that? Do you know that He that said, he that came to die for the sins of the world, amen. You think He wasn't very aware that He was saying, hey, man, I know you guys got sin. I know you guys have broken the commandments. And He's writing things on the ground. Amen? You know, the Word of God says that the Ten Commandments were written by the finger of God. Amen? And here the finger of God is writing right in front of them. And they're looking and they're saying, what's He writing? I don't know. I'm sure they're going, hey, what's He saying? What's He saying? He that hath no sin, let him cast the first stone. Oh, praise God. And again, He stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience. Everybody say conscience.
Conscience.
Yeah, there's two of you. Everybody say conscience.
Conscience.
Conscience, thank you. Went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last, and Jesus was left alone, the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up Himself and saw none but the woman, He said to her, woman, where are those your accusers? has no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Amen. That's beautiful, isn't it? The only one that could condemn her, amen, said, hey, I'm not going to condemn you. See, the word of God says that Jesus came. Jesus said to Nicodemus, I didn't come to condemn the world, but I came to save the world. Amen.
Amen.
He came to save this woman. He came for her. Amen. He told those Pharisees, if you don't have sin, you throw the first stone. And the Bible says that they, beginning with the oldest, how many know the older folks kind of realize this? Hey, I've done a lot of things wrong. Amen. Young people kind of have this attitude, kind of this thought, you know, oh man, I'm good. I'm good. I haven't done anything. I mean, it's okay. I'm fine. Amen. I'm not talking about you, bro.
Yeah,
I'm not, yeah, I'm not talking about you. But they have this way of thinking that as you get older, you come, the word of God, I mean, I think people, as you get older, how many believe this? You get wiser. Yeah. Only two of you believe that. Yeah. The rest of us said, no, I don't think so. Yeah. It gets old, man. Yeah. Hey, you go through some things, amen? It's called what? Experience, amen? We experience things, and we say, oh, man, that was not a good choice. I'm not going to do that again, amen? I'm not going to buy a watch from the guy in the corner next time I'm in Tucson, amen? It doesn't work. It'll quit. We get wiser, amen? And your son comes home, look, Dad, I bought a watch. We get wiser, amen? So, you know, they beginning from the oldest, they began to drop their rocks and head for home. Amen. So I'm not going to get there. The youngest ones, probably watching all the older guys, said, probably be best if I just get out of here too. You know, boom, I drop my rock and take off. Because Jesus was coming. Jesus brought something that it was the conscience. He said, okay, you want to throw a rock at her?
Don't do it.
If you've got no sin, go ahead, throw it. I've got a real good feeling that if somebody, like say one of the Pharisees, went to roll back and he said, stealing. Remember when you took, drop his rock. You know, Jesus might have began to call out sins. How many say amen? Because God knows your sin. He knows the sin. Is that right? He knows that. You know what? I don't know about technology here on the earth, but I believe that technology in the kingdom is way better than what we ever see here on the earth. Amen? I believe that God can replay your past right before your eyes without even say, hey, how did this get turned on? Amen? How many of you ever had a dream? Anybody in here dream? Raise your hand if you had a dream. Any dream. I don't care what you're dreaming about. Ice cream, dogs. I don't know. Anybody had a dream? Did you have any control over that? No. Is that right? So I believe that's part of the technology God has.
Amen.
He just turned something on in you, man. You remember all the times that he came to you, said, do you remember when I said that I loved you? Do you remember when I said, don't do that? Do you remember? Ooh, there's some technology there. Oh, I better not jump. Sorry, Steve. I'll tell you that God far surpasses anything we've ever seen in our lives. Can you say amen to that? There's nothing like him. And so he's telling me, I done broke it. Say amen. Let's go home. No. Yeah, come on, man. I'm sorry. Praise God. Hey, you got to buy some stuff I can jump, bro. Come on, man. Buy something that's quit buying the stuff that breaks. I'll break it. No, I'm just kidding. Praise God. Hallelujah. What did I just say? Does anybody remember?
Fireworks.
Fourth of July. Hey, the Lord had brought to their conscience. The Lord had brought to their conscience their sin. Is that okay? Can you say amen to that? That's what made them leave. And then when this young lady sitting there, and he goes, woman, where's your accuser? There is none, she says. And he says, go your way. And then he says something to her. He says, go your way and what? Sin no more. How many believe that we don't have to sin? How many believe that? Come on. I'm going to say, raise your hand if you believe that you don't have to sin. Hallelujah. It's crazy. We have been kind of taught by maybe our churches or whatever. I don't know. We have been taught maybe by not reading the Word of God that we are sinners. Amen. Oh. That we can't do but anything but sin. That we're no good. Was that okay?
No.
We've been kind of taught that. But the fact of the matter is, we weren't designed that way. How many say amen? Do you know that God never designed you to sin? Is that okay? Do you believe that? Do you believe that God designed Adam perfectly? How many believe that? No, you know, God looked at him. Remember, he said, he looked at me. He looked at everything he designed, everything that he built, everything that he formed and fashioned and put on the earth and put in the stars and everything. He looked at it all on the seventh day, on the sixth day, and he said, this is good. Amen? Good. It's good. When Adam sinned, he didn't say, well, now it's no good, did he? What did God do? He didn't say, no, well, it's not good anymore. No. See, God knows the design. The design is good. You can live without sin. How many say amen to that? Because God designed you to walk in righteousness. Everybody say righteousness. I want to hear it. Not just five people. I want everybody to realize that God has designed you to walk in righteousness, rightness with him. He didn't design you to sin. We don't sin naturally. We've been taught that. If we naturally sin, if God designed us to sin, listen to me very closely, then there is no way that God could send anybody to hell. I mean, say amen to that. No way. Why? Because if he created you that way, why would he condemn you? He can't. Doesn't make any sense. I created you to condemn you? No, see, he never created you to sin. He created you to walk in righteousness. That's what he's called you to do. Our problem is we just don't understand our design. Is that okay? And God is trying to get us, take us closer and closer so that we understand who we are in Christ. Hallelujah. He sent his son to die for you. I'm going to take you. Jesus told her, he said, sin no more. John 8:11. That's what he said. He said it before. He said to, remember the guy that was sitting by the pool and the Lord came in there and he said, pick up your bed and walk. And then when the Pharisees said, hey, who told you who to pick up your bed? Because it's the Sabbath. You can't do it, bro. Now you're going to go in the temple. You're going to have to repent. And he said, well, he that told me to pick up my bed is also the one that healed me. So I'm going to pick up my bed. Amen. He said, I'm going to take that thing. Jesus found him later on after he talked to the Pharisees and he told them the same thing. Go your way and sin no more, lest a worse thing comes upon you. So Jesus, I believe, is in his word, is teaching us that we do not have to sin. Is that okay? Do you know that the righteousness of God is within you?
Amen.
People will tell you, hey, man, we're nobody's perfect. Is that right? The name of this message is called Sinless. Sinless. I was going to call it sinless perfection, but sometimes I think that's just way too much for anybody to absorb. For one thing, you're sinless, and now perfection? Come on, but I'm going to tell you something. That's who you are. Because if you believe in Jesus Christ, if he's come into your life, perfection has come into your life to show you what perfection is all about. Can you say amen to that? Sinlessness is in your life. Do you know that God cannot stand with sin? Do you know that? That's why you have to repent. That's why you have to say, Father, I forgive me. I've sinned. This is when you first come into the kingdom. Is that okay? How many of you know that your sins are washed away? How many of your sins? How many? All of them. For how long?
Forever.
For till when? Till today? Well, what if I sin tomorrow? See, this is a thing. We're so sin conscious. We are so sin conscious that we don't realize that God is saying, no. When my son died for you, he paid for every one of those things. He took your sins and he placed his righteousness upon you. Is that okay? Is that cool? I think that's really cool. I really do. I believe God. John chapter 8, verse 34 and 36 says this. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say to you, whosoever commits sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the son abides forever. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be what?
Free."
Free. I know my grandkids like that word. Free. How much does it cost? It's free. All right, let's get it, man. Yeah. But Jesus wants you free. Amen. I don't know. You know, I really do believe there's Christians today that really don't understand what the purpose of what God sent his son to do in the world. I really think that people are saying, "Oh, okay, it's my religion." It's not a religion. It's an understanding. Jeremiah says, you don't glory in the things about what you've done. He says, but if you want to glory in anything, glory in this, that you know and understand God. You understand him. Understanding God and what he's done for you is something I'm on a quest myself. I love looking at the word of God so I can find out what he's made me into. I might be a pastor of this church, but you asked me this 15 years ago. I said, no, ain't no way I'd be pastoring no church. Isn't that right?
I just said it. Ain't no way.
Ain't no way. That's right. 15 years ago. See, but I didn't know what God had placed within me.
Amen.
I had no idea of the things that he had said. I was raised in the Catholic Church. Let me say, anybody Catholic? You used to be Catholics? Ooh, there's a whole row back there. Yeah. I was raised in the Catholic Church. And I will tell you right now, I still love the Catholic Church because it's people. How many say amen to that? Hey, who cares about the religious system? It's people. Hey, man, just because they're Catholic, you got to talk to them, man. You got to love on them, man. Hallelujah. In the Catholic Church, I didn't learn about what God had done for me. I didn't learn the design he placed in me. I didn't know it. I didn't know anything. I was caught under this. Every Friday, look, I was an altar boy. Any altar boys in here? Altar girls? No? No? Oh, come on.
Just you.
Want to walk, when, you know, two can walk together. You know, anyway, I was an altar boy, and I had to be our father, which is not in heaven, the one on the earth. Father Driscoll, Father Long, these were these guys. They had to see us in church on Friday night so that we could do confession, so that Sunday morning we could take communion. It was almost like a law. You got to be there. You got to do this. I served communion every morning all week long before school at that church. I'd go to the church, serve communion, go home, get ready for school, and go into school. So I was a faithful little altar boy. I really was. I loved, and I still, my heart is still for the Catholic Church in areas. I mean, say amen. You know, hey, man, come on. But what I didn't realize, that going to confession every night or every Friday was doing something to my mind. It was doing something to my conscience. Because if I missed a Friday, my conscience, because what I was taught, what I was told, would begin to bother me. Oh, got to get in there. Does anybody get what I'm saying?
Yes.
You understand
yes.
what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Huh? Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
We do it in churches today. All sorts of churches. Amen? The word of God says that Jesus has made us free. Is that right? There's a freedom that comes with Christ. This freedom that he's given us gives us the opportunity to go into the presence of God and hear what God is saying to us. Is that okay? God will come after those things that are contrary to what he wants in your life. He'll come after them by his Holy Spirit. He'll begin to speak to you. He'll begin to talk to you, begin to say, hey, man, I really don't think Pastor John, that you should be yelling at your wife. No. I really don't think you should be blowing your horn going down the road at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Can't help.
Yeah, come on. His brother's got a loud horn on his. I can hear him from the and there I go, there goes Red. Good morning, Red. Praise God. But hey, God will come after the things that are contrary. He'll tell you. He'll say, hey, no, don't do that. But are you listening for it? See, this is the relationship that God has brought to you because of Jesus, what he's done in your life. He will come after you and convict you and show you things that you need to be doing. Amen. Hallelujah. Watch this. Look at this word. But how does he do it? Jesus said this right before that. John 8:31-32 says this. It says, Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Continue in his what?
Word.
In his word. Continue in my word. Can I tell you, and I would say that, because Jesus even endorsed the apostles. I mean, Jesus endorsed the prophets and the law. How many say amen? He told us, hey, amen. He goes, the law and the prophets, they agree. Amen. To what? To this relationship that we are to have with God. It's what it is. The law and the prophets will convict you. But he tells his disciples, he says, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples. He says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Set you free. How many of you want to be free? How many of you like being free?
Amen.
How many know there's some things in your life that God wants to set you free from? Is that right? It can even be a bad leg. That can be, God wants to set you free of that. It can be bad eye. Like I've got a bad eye. I got one that just goes all over the place. Amen. I used to look at little kids, man, and I say, hey, how you doing? And they look at me and they go, you talking to me? Yeah, because my eyes are going this way. You remember that, huh, Micaiah? No, you know. Because of that, you know, God wants to set you free.
Amen.
He wants to repair the things, the damage that the world has done to you. Amen?
Amen.
There's damage being done. There's damage. You know that God says, he says, fear not. You know, there's over 365 fear nots in the Bible. More than that. More than enough for you to take a fear not every day of your life and say, nah, I'm going to walk with no fear. God wants to do that. He wants you free. Amen? Free to what? Free to serve him. Free to do what he has for you to do. Because I would tell you so, we have a big job, folks. We have a job that God is trying to get us to understand that you are the glory of God in the earth. And I want to use your life to minister to the lives all around you. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, man.
Woo!
Yeah. Hallelujah. We need to believe what God says about who you are. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says this. Boy, it's quiet in here. Come on. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, God commends his love towards us that in while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now I'm going to talk about the sin. Jesus died for you. Is that right? Everybody raise your hand that said that, yeah, Jesus died for me. How many believe that? How many believe that? When you believe that Jesus died for you, you were placed on that cross just like Jesus was, even though it's this year. How many of you were there? You were all there. You were there. Your sins were there. He knew the end from the beginning. He knows everything that you would do.
God's quiet.
Until he comes back.
Come on.
The sin of the whole world was placed upon you. If you believe in Christ, you were there. Is that okay?
Yeah.
He knew you even before you knew him.
Amen.
God commended his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The next verse. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15:3. I want you to listen to this one. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Is that right? Jesus died for your sins. Is that right?
Yeah.
He died for your sins. He died for your sins. I mean, you know, you probably wonder, well, why is he saying that so much? I just want to go eat lunch. You know what I'm saying? Because he died for your sins. He died for you.
Amen.
Died for you. Look at your neighbor, said died for you.
Died for you.
Yeah, look, Tom, say, yeah, you more. Yeah, come on, man. I'm just kidding. He died for you. He died for you, all right? Hallelujah.
Preach it, brother.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12 through 14. Now, what I want you to know, see, and this is going to feel pretty weird to you, but I want you to see this scripture. I want you to understand what I'm telling you, because when he died for you, he took your sins away. When he took your sins away, he placed his righteousness upon you right then. Even though you don't walk that right, even though you might have a little problem with I don't know, maybe you walk in the store and you buy you grab a Reese's peanut butter cup and stick it in your pocket and walk out without paying for it. Maybe, and we got a sheriff sitting right over here that will tell you, hey, you better not do that. Yeah, but, or maybe you're into pornography, or maybe you're into, I mean, now we're getting some wild stuff, okay? Even though you're stepping into these things, do you know that Jesus already paid for it? He paid for it. He paid for it. I keep doing this because I'm telling you, don't do it anymore. He paid for it. But he wants you free.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? Yes. Whether you're in pornography or you're stealing Baby Ruth, still sin. Uh-huh. He recognizes the sin. Whether you're a gay, lesbian, or whatever, still sin. It's the same thing, and God wants to free you from it.
Amen.
Amen? Yeah, I mean, you can say amen. It's okay. Yeah, I want to be free.
Yes.
I want to be free.
Yes.
Because God is so much in love with you. He's got more for you than you even understand that you can even believe.
Amen.
But see, we've been held back by a lot of things that our conscience has been kind of stained a little bit in one way or the other, where we think that we cannot live a life of righteousness. And God says, no, it's not the case at all. If you'll listen to me. Amen. Hallelujah.
Speak up.
Ooh, come on, man. Hallelujah. Here's this. I haven't read this one yet. Here's Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12 through 13. Now listen to this. It says, but this man, what man? Talking about Jesus. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Took a break. Amen? It's time to sit down. Amen? Why? What does it mean when you sit down? It's done. Is that right? That's what he's doing. He sat down at the right hand of the Father. And then it says this, henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. How is he going to do that? He's sitting in heaven. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now, waiting to make his enemies his footstool. Right? How's he going to do that? Sitting up there. He's up there sitting down. How's he going to make his enemy? He already did that. But see, he sent the Holy Spirit to us to make these enemies his footstool. Is that right?
Amen.
Folks, this is why it's so important that you understand who you are, what God's doing in your life, what he's called you into, and how great it is to be serving him. Hallelujah. Now watch this. It says, for by one offering, listen, this is where it gets a little weird. He has perfected. How many say, everybody say perfected.
Perfect.
What does it mean? Perfect. Is that right? What does it mean? Perfect? Does it mean perfect?
There's no more.
Just, John, stand up right
here. Uh-oh. Oh, yeah.
Yes, I'm perfect.
Yeah. Perfect. Amen?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Are you watching or hearing me?
Yep. Yeah, Stella's over there going, perfect. Perfect. Daniel, come here. Come here. Perfect. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. No, listen, they're perfect, right? Now listen.
Perfect.
Now the age difference is different, right?
Perfect.
Yeah. The wisdom difference is, there's a wisdom difference, right? There's an experience difference. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, perfect. Perfect. By one offering. Is that right? Go ahead, sit down.
Yeah. Perfect.
The perfect thing, brother. By one offering, it's what it says. By one offering, he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. How many of you in the house are sanctified? Every one of you, if you believe in Christ, you're sanctified, you're set aside, you're set apart. And he has perfected you forever. Yeah, but I did. Yeah. That's what God says about you. That's what he says about you. You're perfect. You don't need anything else except understanding what he's done for you. Amen. And how he's doing it and what he's bringing to you. Is that okay?
Yes.
He desires that you just listen to him. When it comes to sin, when it comes to those things that have been troubling you, I believe this message is for you. That whatever you're going through, it doesn't matter. Whatever it is that you know it's contrary to God. You know that God says that this God, if you were to say, God, can you just get me out of this, God? Whatever. Whatever it is, you know that God knows about it. You can't hide. How many say amen to that? Friend of mine used to, my friend of my brother used to always, first time he introduced you, anytime he introduced you to somebody, he'd say this. He was a Christian, okay? Just so you know. He'd grab your hand, he'd look at you right in the eye, and he'd tell you, you can run, but you can't hide.
Amen.
And he's talking about the Lord, is that right? He's talking about everything that God is doing. He's talking about who we serve. He's talking about him. You can't fool him. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows what you're doing. He knows what you're thinking. He knows all that stuff. Amen. Hallelujah. And what he says in his word is that the blood of Jesus will purge your conscience. It purges your, the blood of Christ comes and it washes you and it cleanses you. But he says, stay in my word. He told his disciples, stay in my word. Stay in my word. Stay in my word. See, it's not up to men to help you out. If you got unforgiveness rolling around in you, man, you know what? Quit following it. Amen? Just stop doing it. Stop living in unforgiveness. Stop living in immorality, sexual immorality. Stop living in those things because God has something greater for you and he wants to get those out of the way so he can continue to move you forward. How many say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Check this out. Oh, man. I don't think I better do that one. We're going to hold off for that because, hey, we're going to praise God. Can you be sinless? Are you sinless? How many of you are sinless in this room right now? You're sinless. You know what? I'm going to say, don't pick up your hands now. Don't do it. Right now, can I tell you, if you believe that Jesus died for your sins, you are sinless. You got something troubling you. It's just something troubling you. Don't milk it. Don't like it. I mean, because the Bible says with sin comes, there's a pleasure in sin. Don't just quit doing it. Because God knows. God knows you're in it. And he knows that he knows that a message like this today will help you to be delivered because God wants to deliver every one of us. Amen. Myself included. Hallelujah. Myself included. You know, I'm growing a hatred for deer. You got what? No. I'm not. I said, man, the deer are tearing up our backyard, man. I said, man, I'm going to get a gun. I'm going to get a gun. I shouldn't be doing that. I said, oh, look at how cute the deer are. Yeah, well, yeah. They're eating, Rosie, they're eating your roses. Oh, they're so cute. No, it's just got, you know, but hey, I will tell you, hey, know this, that God wants you clean. Amen.
Yeah.
There's a word that he says. He says this. I'm going to end with this. Could everybody stand? Hallelujah. It says this. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Can I tell you something? It's as easy as following him. That's it. It's as easy as following him. Amen? Uh-oh. No. Where's Oscar? Oscar, are you here, bro? What?
Oscar?
Yeah. Daniel. I'll use Daniel. Come here, Daniel. Yeah. My neighbor's name is Oscar Ajumeda. I'm a Mexican. Can you guys tell me? You guys know I'm a Mexican. Oscar's a Mexican, right?
I am too.
And he is too. I don't even know why I'm doing this. Yeah, I got no idea. But one day Oscar asked me, he said, hey, yeah, you ever seen a Mexican trailer? I go, no. He goes, follow me. I'll show you. So, boom. So he goes over here. I'm at his house. He goes over here and he looks over here behind the house. And he goes, it's not there. So he goes to the other. He goes to the other end of the house and he looks over there. And I'm staying quiet, just like you. And he goes and he looks. He goes, not there either. So he goes over behind his shop. We go behind his shop, and he looks back there. And finally, I said, "Bro, what are you looking for?" And when I said that, he goes, "Oh, there you are, a Mexican trailer." You guys know what I'm talking about? Let me just say this to you. It's as easy as following him. It's as easy as following him.
Good.
It's as easy as following. He says, "Take up your cross. Follow me. You'll see that God has great things for you." Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We ask you, Lord, that you would, Father, that you would just bless this message, Father, in the hearts of those that heard it, Father, those that will hear it as it goes out in the airways, Father. We ask you, Lord, that you would do a mighty work in your people. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Hey, I'm here to remind you that there's...
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.